Legends 92.9 now brings you
Lyrics and Legends
with your host, Gary Ware.
Well, the program you're listening to is another edition of Lyrics and Legends. Got Buck Weatherby in the studio with me tonight. How's it going, Buck?
Hey, Gary, it's going real good. And let me tell you and the listeners out there, we got a dandy show for you today. We got a guy on today, Gary, that we had him on one time before for a show. We kept hearing about this guy. Played piano with for quite a few years with Elvis, toured with him, and we've had more comment on that show, I think, than a lot of shows that we've done.
Absolutely.
So at your twist in my arm, I called Glenn D. Harden back the other day and said, Glenn, we need to do another show.
The program was so nice, we had to do it twice. So
yeah.
We have on the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee, Glenn D. Harden. How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Man, we so much appreciate you taking time to visit with us out here in the panhandle of Texas, and thanks for taking time to let us bug you another evening.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm glad to do it.
Glenn is kind of for a lot of you that didn't hear the first interview that we did with Glenn Harden, he's kind of a hometown boy, and I say kinda. Gary and I first started hearing the rumors about a year ago about this guy that played piano with Elvis that was born down at Wellington, and a neighbor of ours here in Shamrock to the south. And then we heard he was from Hollis. And so we did a little research and whatnot, and I got Glenn on the phone, and he agreed to do the first show with us. I got to ask you this question. You know, before when we talked about you were born in Wellington or you were born in Hollis, and you corrected us and said you were born about halfway between Shamrock and Wellington.
That's correct.
Now, how did that happen? I know you were too young to remember, but somebody had to tell you.
Well, I just grew up knowing that. I was born about halfway between Shamrock and Wellington, right there by the river.
I'll be darned.
Very close to there. My birth certificate was recorded in Wellington.
Okay.
I happen to know, but that's how that happened. And we lived out on a farm out there between Wellington and Shamrock, owned by a gentleman named P.E. Starr, whoever that might be.
Well, I bet some folks around here are going to say, ooh, I remember that name.
Well, it's always fun when we do these. We find out facts, and then people happen to know something related to that, and it's always interesting to see where those rabbit trails go.
Oh, right, I bet, right. Yeah.
And we even talked about that was out there near some place where Bonnie and Clyde paid a visit, wasn't it, Glenn?
That's right. Right there at the river. Exactly. Yes.
Right. Well, now, getting into some of your music history, we talked quite a bit about your early days and how you got into the music business. Kind of want to deal this time about more of your history when you actually got hooked up with Elvis. Now, what were the years you were with Elvis and touring with him and arranging for him?
That was 1970, 71, 72, 73, 74, and 75.
Okay. You know, you talked about Colonel Tom a little bit and how, you know, there's been a lot of negatives about Colonel Tom and the effects that he had on, you know, you hate to say holding back Elvis, but there's certain parts of Elvis' career that I think it's kind of a known history now that Colonel Tom did hold Elvis back.
I think so, yes. I think Elvis outgrew his management, yes.
I think one of the things that you keep hearing about in interviews and everything with Elvis, that he really and truly wanted to go tour Europe.
That's correct, yes.
And Colonel Tom never would let him. And what was the reason that you picked out of that?
Well, I think it's been proven that he is an illegal alien from the Netherlands. I believe that's documented. And I think the problem was if he left the country, he wouldn't be able to get back in to America.
Well, and I think that really held Elvis back. And, you know, the proof in the pudding there, Glenn, is you guys just came back from Norway, didn't you? The TCB band?
Oh, I was over there a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
And the TCB band that you play in and play all of the Elvis music, it's really big over in Europe, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's about time, Gary, to play a little music that Glenn arranged and recorded with Elvis on. What song you got picked out here?
Talk about this one a little bit, Glenn, before we play it. I was thinking we might listen to the 12th of Never. I think that's one you arranged for Elvis.
And right.
Talk a little bit about that.
I just remember that he brought it up one day, and we just kind of played it. I think everybody kind of knew it because it was a big hit a long time ago. And I arranged it for him, and I think we only did it on stage like one time that I remember. He had a feeling that people thought he was singing to Priscilla, and he didn't want people to think that.
Do you remember who did the original of this offhand?
Wasn't it Johnny Mathis?
Johnny Mathis. It really was 12th and Ever. I think he had that out kind of right after Chances Are, I think.
Soon after, I think.
Yeah. All right. Because, I'm probably way too young to remember all that stuff.
So. Shut up, Gary. Shut up. Glenn and I didn't appreciate that remark.
All right.
I say that because Glenn and I are just about the same age.
We're going to take a listen to, Buck, we're going to take a listen to the 12th of Never, and then we'll be back in a few minutes to visit with Glenn D. Harden.
I need you, must I explain? I need you, oh my darling, like roses in rain. You ask how long I love you, I'll tell. Until the 12th of Never, I'll still be loving you. Hold me close, ever there you go. Hold me close, melt my heart. To the bluebell, forget to bloom. I love you till clover has lost its perfume. I love you till the poet. And that's a long, long time.
So that song we just listened to was the 12th of Never, and that was arranged by Glenn D. Harden for Elvis when he was playing with Elvis during the early 70s there. So thanks for taking time to visit with us today, Glenn. We're enjoying this.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I enjoy doing it for you.
You know, this program, when we did it originally, the first set, has we've gotten a lot of really good compliments on the program and comments about people just being unaware that you were from this area and that you had traveled with Elvis. So it's fun to dig into this a little deeper and kind of get a little backstory to it.
Yeah.
Now, Glenn, you promised us that if you ever came through this, you were going to stop and see us, but we haven't seen you yet.
Well, if I do promise the next time I'm in West Texas, I will drop in on you. I promise.
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about Elvis and all the movies that he was in and that he really never did quite feel comfortable doing all those hokey movies. And I think it was 1968, wasn't it, that Elvis came back with I think he only had a couple of movies left to do on his contract, but he was interested in getting back and playing some of the kind of good old gutsy music that made him famous and made him shake his leg and whatnot. And, you know, one thing I can remember just clear as a bell, I think it was 1968 when he did his first TV show, and I think they almost had to push him out on the stage because he was didn't know if he really wanted to do it or not. But he did an old got out there with some of his buddies and did an old Jimmy Reed blues song, Baby What You Want Me to Do.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
You remember, I can see that as clear as everything, and you could just see Elvis evolving back to the old Elvis. And in 1969, now you weren't with him in 69, were you?
No, I joined him in 1970.
You joined him when he first started doing the Vegas shows, didn't you?
Well, he had played there in August, that one month in August of 69, and then I joined him in February of 70 when he went back up there.
Okay. Do you recall any kind of personal incidents when you were hanging around Elvis that were kind of amusing?
Oh, it was a yuck a minute around Elvis. He had a great sense of humor. So there was a lot of those. He was very easy to get on with. And we got a lot of work done. He enjoyed getting everybody together, and when he'd turn it on, man, we'd get a whole lot done. I mean, at one time or other, we touched upon every song he ever had, I guess, you know, rehearsed it. So we knew the old stuff if he ever wanted to do it, which he didn't very often, but...
I think you told us on the last interview that we did with you that a lot of times after one of his concerts, y'all would go up into the penthouse suite or wherever they had him stayed with the big grand piano, and y'all would jam for a few hours.
Well, he'd sing gospel music with the quartet, either the Imperials or the Stamps.
Yeah.
I'd always kind of duck out on that because I didn't know much of that gospel music, and Charlie Hodge knew all of it, so Charlie got to play the Late Late Show.
Now, when y'all were doing those Vegas shows, he was doing two shows a night, wasn't he?
That's right, yes.
Man, I forget how many shows he did. I think I saw something somewhere where he did over 1,500 concerts in his career.
Talk a little bit about those Vegas shows. How long did those, I'm not talking about how many shows you did, but... Were you booked for so many weeks in a row there, or how did that work?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I first joined him, we'd go up there and stay the entire month. They finally cut that back to about 2 weeks, finally.
So was your home then in California, but you would just stay in Vegas for that month or 2 weeks of the shows?
Okay. Just stayed there,
All right.
I watched a TV special called The Searchers that Elvis was on, or it was about a two-part documentary on Elvis, and they said when he first went to Vegas, it was a 30-day booking, and they did 61 shows. Wow. Man.
Well, that sounds correct, yes. Uh-huh.
that doesn't leave you a whole lot of time to entertain and to sleep.
It's a late night experience, and you get sleep all day the next day.
Yeah.
I want to slip another song in here, Glenn, if it'd be all right. Talk about, I think, another song you arranged for Elvis is, I believe it's Over.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about that.
He wanted to do that in the Aloha special, I believe it was, and seems like I did several for the Aloha show.
Now, that Aloha show, what year was that, 1973?
That's correct.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, were you in on the sessions where he did Burning Love, Separate Ways?
Yeah. That was at RCA in L.A., in Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, we're going to listen to It's Over. We're visiting with Glenn D. Hardin on Lyrics and Legends on 92.9, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Time, we're not a moving thing. I could make it stay. This hour of love we share would always be. There'd be no coming day to shine a morning light, make us realize our night is over. When you walk away from me, there is no place to put my hand, except to shade my eyes against the sun that rises over the land. I watch you walk away somehow, I have to let you go, 'cause it's over. Oh, there might have been a way somehow. I have to force myself to say it's over. So I turn my back, turn my collar to the wind, move along in silence, trying not to think at all. I send my feet before me, walk the silent street before me. Now it's over. Time, we're not a moving thing. I can make it stay. This hour of love we share would always be. There'd be no coming day to shine a morning light, make us realize our night is over.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends got Glenn D. Harden on the phone. Glenn was a piano player for Elvis during the 70s and also grew up or was born not too far from Shamrock, Texas, down between here and Wellington. Grew up over in Hollis, Oklahoma, and then spent some time over near Lubbock. What was the name of the little town there in Lubbock? Refresh my memory on that.
28 miles south of Lubbock, a little town called Meadow.
Meadow, okay.
Meadow, uh-huh.
Do they have a Glenn D. Harden Boulevard or anything in Meadow? Or?
You know what? There is a. They did name a street after me.
Wow.
Me and Sonny Curtis, both.
Now, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Now, is Sonny Curtis still with the TCB band?
No, Sonny never was, but Sonny's written a lot of songs, and he's from Lubbock. Meadow, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but Sonny wasn't in the TCB band. No.
Okay, now, is the TCB band still together doing all the old Elvis songs?
We get together every once in a while and go to Europe, and we've got a cruise coming up. We're going to play in Denmark together in August. So, yes, we do get together and work and still play Elvis music, yes.
Okay, you're in the TCB band, of course, doing the... tickling the keyboards. James Burton still in the band?
Yes.
Who else you got traveling with you?
Norbert Putnam plays the bass. He never worked live with Elvis, but he recorded on about 100 tracks.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And Ronnie Tutt on drums, of course.
Yeah, I just watched the movie The Searchers again. Uh-huh. And you and Burton, y'all are all mentioned in there quite a bit. And then uh-huh. I'd point at the screen and say, I know that guy.
At least know his voice anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. What kind of reception do you get over in Europe?
Oh, very good one. There's a lot of Elvis fan clubs over there still to this day. Lots of them.
Well, it's,
some of them are large and some of them are small. And sometimes they pool their resources and... you know, entertain themselves endlessly with bringing us over there and so forth. And,
wow. That's probably quite a thrill, getting to play Elvis's music in a lot of places that Elvis never did get to entertain.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular when you're overseas, any songs in particular that the fans like to hear? Is it more the older stuff or is it more the
you
stuff?
You know, I think they're like the rest of us. They like just whatever it is that we play. Usually we'll work with some good singer from the country that we're in. We've had real good luck with that, and we don't work with impersonators. But anyway, we just do whatever comes to mind or whatever our singer would like to sing.
Okay, so you pick up a singer that knows the Elvis songs and whatnot over in some of the country, foreign countries that you play in.
Right.
Wow. That ought to be pretty exciting.
Well, it is. It is. Some real good ones over there.
One thing we talked about earlier was something you guys did after the shows that Elvis was a big gospel fan. One of the songs that we wanted to share, I think, is just a tremendous song, is How Great Thou Art. And I think that's one you also arranged for him, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
All right, we're going to listen to How Great Thou Art by Elvis Presley with the arrangement by Glenn D. Hardin. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart.
There how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou
The song we just listened to was How Great Thou Art. We kind of talked about Elvis's love for gospel music, and I think that's one of the ones. I think, tell me if I'm right, Glenn, you may know this, or Buck, I think one of the only Grammys that Elvis received was for his gospel album. Is that correct?
I think so, and I believe he got a Grammy for How Great Thou Art, I think.
All right, that's wow. Interesting that... You know, there was such a big opposition early, and then he ended up winning a Grammy for it.
Yeah.
Kind of got to catch myself, because I guess it is a CD now. But
albums are coming back.
Albums are back. I got a big plug from Spin and Jenny. We've got a local vinyl store here in town that has vinyl, and we mentioned her in last week's program, and she texts me and was like, thanks for the props there. So
Yeah.
Now, when you make that promised visit to Shamrock, Glenn, we'll take you down to Spin and Jenny. So that's in a town our size, we're glad to have a business like that.
Well, that sounds great. Everybody loves vinyl.
Another song that you arranged for Elvis was It's Impossible.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and listen to this, and then we'll be back in a few minutes.
It's impossible to
tell the sun to leave the sky. It's just impossible. It's impossible to ask a baby not to cry. It's just impossible. Can I hold you closer to me and not feel you going through me? But the second that I never think of you, oh, how impossible. Can the ocean keep from rushing to the shore? It's just impossible. If I had you, could I ever ask for more? It's just impossible. And tomorrow, should you ask me for the world, somehow I'd get it. I would sell my very soul and not regret it. For to live without your love is just impossible. And the ocean keep on rushing to the shore. It's just impossible. If I had you, could I ever ask for more? It's just impossible. And tomorrow, should you ask me for the world, somehow I'd get it. I would sell my very soul. For to live without your love is just impossible. Impossible. Oh, impossible.
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 The song we just listened to was It's Impossible. The program's Lyrics and Legends on the Legends Radio Network. We have in studio with us Buck Weatherby, and having a good time, Buck. We've got Glenn D. Harden on the phone from Nashville, Tennessee. Glenn is a musician who grew up or was born in this area and has played with Elvis Presley, and it's a lot of fun. This is our second time to get to visit with Glenn, and it's always a lot of fun to get to do that.
Not only did our guest Glenn Harden do several concerts with Elvis, but arranged, how many songs did you tell me, Glenn, that you arranged for Elvis that he recorded? 38?
38, yes.
Uh-huh. Right. Now, you told me a story on the phone the other day about you never did actually know, or you'd forgotten how many songs you really did for him, and
right.
Somebody did research for you. Tell us that story. You met somebody on a plane, didn't you?
Actually, I was on a cruise a year or so ago, and talking to a guy that I had met previously, I think in Vienna, a doctor, Dr. Thomas Weiss is his name, German guy. He's a research guy, and he's way up in the hierarchy in the pharmaceutical industry in Germany, and he's a very nice guy. Anyway, he had asked me how many songs I might have arranged for Elvis, and I didn't know, because the airline lost my billing book one time with my luggage. And
oh, no.
I never got it back, so I never knew. Anyway, this guy, the doctor, has a little one-hour radio show. I don't know if it's every week or a month or whatever, but he needs things to talk about. So he just tore into this situation to research it and get me an answer to that question. And he outdid himself, man. He really documented everything very well, and I am convinced it is the correct number.
And what was that number of songs that you arranged and that Elvis recorded?
38.
38 songs that you were the man that was helping Elvis make hits.
Right.
Of all of the songs that you arranged for Elvis, did you have a a couple of favorites there?
Yes, I did. It's Impossible is one of my favorites, and It's Over. I think we played both of those today,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Covered and, those, yeah.
And those are way up there among my favorites. Uh-huh.
All right.
What about a little song called Always on My Mind?
Yeah, I did that one. Uh-huh. I love that.
All right. We're going to listen to Always on My Mind, and we're going to be back in just a few minutes to visit with Glenn D. Harden.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. Never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm so sorry I was blind. You were always on. Satisfied, little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. We're visiting with Glenn Harden. That song was Always on My Mind. One thing that comes to mind is Elvis had a great hit with that, and also Willie Nelson had a good one, I think. Willie's didn't come out until about 82. And that album of Willie's stayed on the charts like forever. I think it stayed on the charts longer than any of his other albums did.
Well, I'll tell you what, that version by Elvis, that was dynamite.
Absolutely.
You know, Elvis got into the gospel. He got into the blues, and you know, he was raised. Blues was a big influence of being raised down there by Memphis, and also country music and gospel. And you know, you can hear all three of those elements in any of the songs that he does.
Yes, yes.
1973, that Hawaii show that he did via satellite, man, that was a big deal. They said that reached 1 billion people.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the songs from that were just great. And I mean, that really put him, that put him all over the world. He wanted to travel in person all over the world, but that got him there via the old satellite.
Yeah, if you think about it, in 1973, the population of the entire Earth was probably somewhere around 4 billion. So it was probably 25% of the entire population of the Earth saw that.
Saw that show. Yeah, France and Germany and England and all the places he wanted to go and never did get to go. Except in the service.
Right.
Which wasn't the same as getting to entertain to all the folks he loved to entertain.
Right.
You know, back in the, during his marriage to Priscilla, I think his touring and everything and all the Las Vegas, and he was gone quite a bit. And it's amazing, even though they split up, that they remained friends and stayed in contact and had good things to say about one another. Did he talk much about that when you were with him, Glenn?
No, he didn't talk about it much at all. He seemed to keep it all inside for the most part. Yeah.
Well, that's a kind of a credit to him, actually. But a song that he did during that breakup, right after that, that you helped arrange, was a song called "Separate Ways."
Well, that's right. Yeah, I think Red West wrote that. Yeah.
Right, and you arranged that for him, and it was kind of, you could kind of listen to those words and tell that he was singing that from his heart. And Gary, why don't we play that "Separate Ways" right now?
All right, we're going to take a listen to "Separate Ways," and then we'll be back in just a few minutes with Glenn D. Harden.
I see a change is coming to our lives. It's not the same as it used to be. And it's not too late to realize our mistake. We're just not right for each other. Love has slipped away, left us only friends. We almost seem like strangers. All that's left between us are the memories we share. Times we thought we cared for each other. There's nothing left to do but go our separate ways. Pick up all the pieces left behind us. And maybe someday, somewhere along the way, another love will find us. Someday when she's older, maybe she will understand why her mom and dad are not together. Tears that she will cry, I have to say goodbye, tear at my heart for her. There's nothing left to do but go our separate ways, pick up all the pieces left behind us, and maybe someday, somewhere along the way, another love. Oh,
program's Lyrics and Legends, visiting with Glenn D. Harden. We just played Separate Ways. Talk about that song just a little bit, Glenn. Is that something you guys performed a lot, or is that...
No, as I remember, we didn't do it a lot. We just kind of... it kind of came from out of nowhere. We did it... I don't know how many times, but not many, it doesn't seem like. And then he just went on to other things.
Is that something he felt like maybe... was just a little too painful to...
It might have been that. It might have been a little too revealing.
A little too raw. Uh-huh. Probably so.
Do you have any stories about American Trilogy and some of the performances and some of Elvis's thoughts on that?
That's a song he really enjoyed doing, and he always did it great. They handed me that record. I remember it was Mickey Newberry. Thank you.
Mickey Newberry, yeah.
And there was nothing on this demo. It was his record, but there was nothing on it but his guitar, acoustic guitar, and harmonica. So I had a lot of wide open spaces in that song to fill in with the orchestra, of course.
And wow.
Made for a big arrangement, you know.
You talk about big arrangement. That was one of the biggest American Trilogy.
How long did it take you to arrange that song for Elvis?
I would guess 4 or 5 hours, I would say.
Wow.
But I never spent much more time than that ever with
Wow, that's for somebody like me and Buck, that's like,
yeah,
we're impressed.
Yeah, Glenn, I call that a musical masterpiece, and you arranged that in 4 or 5 hours. I got to give you a big old wow.
I guess
that.
We probably ought to listen to American Trilogy, don't you think, Bob?
I think that'd be great right about now. I'm probably going to break out in goosebumps all over again like I always do when I hear that.
All right, let's listen to American Trilogy, and we'll be back. And got a little more time. We don't want to get out of here too quick, but it's going fast. American Trilogy, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times are not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. Sing it, fellas. Dixieland, I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, Dixieland. Die. but all my trials, Lord, soon be over.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. We're in our second session with Glenn D. Harden. Glenn was born between Wellington and Shamrock on the Salt Fork of the Red River. Something that we came across that was very intriguing, and Buck, after making a few phone calls, was able to track him down, which was pretty amazing, Buck.
So. Yeah, tracked him down in Nashville. That's where you live now, isn't it, Glenn?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. What's going on in Nashville these days? Anything worth talking about?
Oh, not much. It's nice and quiet, and it's beautiful here. We get a lot of rain, and it is greener than Ireland here right now, and it's just beautiful. I don't know what's going on downtown or on Music Row. I got time off, and I'm kind of watching the paint dry, you know.
So you're just back in from a tour where you guys went to
I went and played two concerts in Oslo, Norway,
okay.
And then I went to Vienna for a few days in Austria, and then came home.
All right, we got time to get a couple more songs in here. I'm afraid we're going to run out of time if we don't get this done, but one of those that we wanted to squeeze in here was the Early Morning Rain. Talk
yeah.
about that a little bit, Glenn.
Yeah, as I remember, I just wrote strings for that, and I think that was for the Aloha special, I do believe.
All right. Here's Early Morning Rain, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
In the early morning rain, with a dollar in my hand, and aching in my heart, and my pockets full of sand. I'm a long ways from home, and I miss my loved ones so. In the early morning rain, with no place to go, out on runway number 9, 707 set to go. But I'm out here on the grass, where the pavement never grows, where the liquor tasted good, and the women all were fast. There she goes, my friend, she's rolling out. Hear the mighty engines roar, see the silver wing on high, she's winging a westward bound, far above the clouds she flies, where the morning rain don't fall, and the sun always shines, she'll be flying over my home. In about 3 hours' time, This old airport's got me down. It's no worth the good to me, 'cause I'm out here on the grass, cold and drunk as I might be. Can't jump a jet plane like you can a freight train. So I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain. So I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain. So I'd best be on my way in the early morning.
Got Buck Weatherby in the studio with me. We just listened to Early Morning Rain, Buck.
Hey, by one of my favorite singers, Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley with Glenn D. Harden. You said you arranged the strings on that.
Uh-huh.
Piano player that arranged the strings. What talent.
Talk just a little bit about how did you get into the arranging part? To me, that's pretty talented.
Well, I don't know. It would take a while to explain it, but I lived and worked in Los Angeles and, you know, played on a lot of records where there was a lot of people, orchestra people and so forth. And it just occurred to me that it was a thing I would love to know how to do. So I read some books about it, and which I still might refer to this day, and just realized I could do that. So there you go.
Wow. I'm impressed that we're talking about some of those songs like American Trilogy that you arranged in like 4 or 5 hours, and they ended up what I call a musical masterpiece by today's standards, Glenn. My hat's off to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You know, did you have much contact with Elvis after you left his entourage in the late 70s?
No, I didn't. I did go to Memphis in March of whatever year it was, and we did an album in the Jungle Room. I think we did 2 albums there, as I remember.
You know, I was going to mention something about the Jungle Room. Elvis got where he did not want to go into a studio. Isn't that right?
Yeah, he just, yes.
And he had a studio at Graceland called the Jungle Room. Now, were you in on the session in, I think it was 75, 76, somewhere there? One of his last recordings was a song called Hurt.
I went down there when we did the second one, it seems like, but I had to leave early. I was booked in Europe with Emmy Lou Harris.
Oh, wow. Leave.
And anyway, I'm thinking about the Moody Blue album, and so I only played on a few numbers on that.
Okay. But anyhow, that was, I think Hurt, read somewhere, was the last recording that Elvis did. You know, quite a career. 31 films, can you believe that? 31 of those Elvis movies, did 784 songs that he recorded.
Wow.
And he did, well, let me give you the exact number here. I penciled it in here on the scratch pad. He did 1,684 concerts in his life.
Wow.
And that was all from the time he started out there in Memphis at Sun Records, and passed away August the 16th, 1977, died at Graceland, right. I think is the correct information.
I think so. Uh-huh.
Glenn, we want to thank you for coming in. We've got time for one more song, thinking about My Boy. What do you think about that one?
Oh, I would love that, yes.
All right. And this is also one that you arranged for Elvis as well, isn't it?
Right.
All right, we're going to listen to My Boy. And we're going to be back to wrap this up, Buck. I'll tell you, we're running out of time.
Ooh, I love talking to Glenn Harden.
All right.
Well, not just that he's kind of a hometown boy, but Glenn, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
All
right. Well, thank you. I always enjoy doing it.
All right. Well, don't wrap it up yet, guys. We've got to play this song. This is going to be My Boy, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're sleeping, son, I know. But really, this can't wait. I wanted to explain before it gets too late. For your mother and me, love has finally died. This is no happy home, but God knows how I tried. I stay because of you, my boy. I know it's hard to understand. Why did we ever start? We're more like strangers now, each acting out of part. I have laughed, I have cried, I've lost every game, taking all I can take, but I'll stay here just the same. Because you're all I have, my boy. You are my life, my pride, my joy. And if I stay, I stay because of you, my boy. You haven't heard a word, perhaps it's just as well. Why spoil your little dreams? Why put you through the hell? Life is no fairy tale, and one day you will know. But now you're just a child, I'll stay here and watch you grow. Because you're I stay because of you, my boy. Yeah, because you're all I have, my boy. You are my life, my pride, my joy. And if I stay, I stay because of you, my boy.
In the program's Lyrics and Legends, man, we've had a good one, Buck. This has been
one of my favorites.
Much fun. Well, thank you so much for taking time to visit with us again. It's always a lot of fun to get you on the phone and pick at you a little bit and hear some of these stories about your days with Elvis. And thanks, Glenn, honestly, for doing this. It really means a lot for you to take time to visit with us.
Well, you're welcome. I enjoy it very much.
We really appreciate it. Thanks, Buck, for coming in. Yeah. And we'll see you again next week on Lyrics and Legends.
All right, you guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, all right. Thanks, Glenn.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.